Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Or we're going to try. So, welcome, welcome, welcome. And this is a live call-in show. So, if you would like to call in, our call-in number is 914-338-1638. And the chat room is open also, so we'll be looking for your comments. And our program today is the Psychic Networks of Daystar TV, Marcus and Joni Lamb, and God TV or Ungod TV, Wendy Alec, which once upon a time was Wendy and Rory Alec, but Rory ran away with another woman, and now they are in a nasty divorce since I guess Randy wants to marry this adulteress that he ran off with, and they're probably fighting over the money from the network. I'm sure that Rory feels like it's probably half his. so, you know, no one likes to see anybody go through a divorce. And I'm sure Wendy was devastated when her husband ran off with a Jezebel. Yes, it would make anyone ill, and it should make you look at your life. It should be a wake-up call for Wendy Alec to sit down and say, okay, God, what is going on here? My husband was supposed to be a born-again Spirit-filled Christian, and we have this worldwide television network. So, Lord, why did my husband run off with a Jezebel, and he wants nothing to do with you or the ministry, and now he wants to divorce me, and we're fighting over money. So, you think that that would bring somebody to their knees? You think that that might be enough to cause someone to cry out to God and to realize that all the seed sowing and the breakthroughs and all the other foolishness that Wendy and Rory participated in, none of that worked. It didn't bring any fruit into her own life. Her husband isn't even saved. I don't even know if she's saved, because I don't think saved people act the way Wendy Alec acts with her constant manipulating and bringing on psychics like Brian Karn and Benny Hinn and Nasser Siddiqui. I don't think so. I don't see how anybody that does these things can be a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. Now, let's face it, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, all of us have. And I myself fell for the seed faith con games and the tithing con games and all of that. The first 15 years of my Christianity, which I was born again in 1981. But then I really got serious about studying the Bible on giving, and I found out what the truth was. So after I found out what the truth was, I no longer participated in the seed faith con games and the tithing con games, and I knew that if I ever needed anything from God, I could merely ask. I didn't have to pay him off. I didn't have to show him my faith by giving some con artist preacher some money, because we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So my main mission in life, and my main mission with this program, and we've been doing this for 5.5 years. I don't know how much longer the Lord will have me do it. But anyway, we've been producing programs for 5.5 years. And if I could get one person to realize that they do not have to bribe God and they should save their money and not give it to these greedy preachers from hell, because most of these people just stepped right up out of it. That's where they came from. And you don't have to give God any money. He doesn't need any money. We don't give God money because he doesn't need it. He never used it. When Jesus walked on the earth, nobody ever walked up to Jesus and handed him a $1,000 seed faith gift. So let me just tell you something simple. If it didn't happen in the New Testament, if it never happened in the New Testament, then we're not supposed to do it. I don't care what Benny Hindu says and Nasser Siddiqui and Brian Karn and Jesse Duplantis and Kenneth Copeland. I don't care what any of them say about God, because they're talking about another Jesus. That Jesus doesn't exist. The Jesus that I know about and the Jesus that you should know about is the Jesus of the New Testament. So there's nothing recorded, nowhere, nothing in the New Testament recorded where anybody ever walked up to Jesus Christ, the Lord, the God of the universe, because he never laid down his divinity. Nobody ever walked up to him and said, "Jesus, here's $1,000 seed faith gift so I could show you my faith. Now give me a miracle." Did anybody ever do that? No. Did anybody ever bring Jesus money and lay it on an altar and offer it up to his father and say, "Oh Lord, here's my faith. Look at my faith, dear Lord. Now give me a miracle." Did anybody ever do that to the apostles? There was somebody that did that to the apostles. Remember the guy that walked up to the apostles and he wanted to give them some money, and they rebuked him and they said, "You can't buy the Holy Ghost. You can't buy these things. Get thee behind me, Satan." And that's what I say to the Christian so-called, and you can't put Christian there really, but the psychic networks of Daystar TV and OnGod TV. They have gone the way of Balaam. They sold out for fame and fortune. They like money more than they like God. Now, I want you to understand something, too. I don't care if people take up offerings. I am not opposed to ministries taking up an offering. That doesn't bother me. As long as you take up an offering and you say, I'm taking up this money for myself. I'm going to use it for the ministry. It's for me. So don't, like, you know, they want you to think that God's getting this money. Well, what's he going to do with it? I don't think he's going to do anything with it. I think we're going to do something with it. So it's okay for people to take up offerings. I'm not opposed to that. That doesn't bother me. I don't care if people sell a book. That doesn't bother me. If you write a book, that's work. You deserve to be paid for work. I'm not opposed to people selling things. That doesn't bother me. That's the world we live in. We buy and sell. And that doesn't bother me at all. But for people to lie and cheat and scheme and con, and then to use the name of Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, no, not that. No, let me tell you something. I'm afraid of God. I am afraid of God. I don't want God to smack me down. Oh, no, no. No, I don't want that to happen to me. I am not interested in that. Well, I don't want God to judge me like that. God's going to hold me responsible one day for what I told people, especially if I'm putting the name, you know, the Bible in front of it, and then I'm holding a Bible in one hand, and then I'm conning people. No. So let's have a revolution, okay? Let's have a reformation. Stop watching these people. Tell your friends to stop watching these people. Send them my programs. Send them the other people's programs that are out there. Until they get their brain washed with the Word of God and they get away from these people. When you turn on the television, now look, there are on my satellite, there's probably, I'd say, 8 to 10 networks, and they're all doing the same thing because they found out it works. So they must take in over $1 billion a year, these networks. And this is the way they do it. They manipulate. So just imagine what that money can be used for. Now, I'm going to play some clips today. Now, you're going to find it very hard to believe when you hear what some of these people say. So, for instance, here we have, and I don't have the clip of Benny Hinn, but I'll tell you what he said. Benny Hinn goes on God TV. Now, this is God TV, Wendy and Rory Alec, and of course, Rory, the husband, flew off with some Jezebel, and now he wants to divorce his wife, and he's living with the Jezebel, and he doesn't want anything to do with the ministry. So, now, you know, Benny Hinn is a vulture, so he's hanging around now a lot with Wendy, because I think that he thinks that this network is going to go down the drain, and then just like Morris Cirillo, when Jim Baker went down, and Jerry Falwell, they were like vultures, you know, they were right there trying to pick up the dead meat. So, and Morris Cirillo did wind up with Jim Baker's network. But I think, you know, Benny's hanging around and he's acting real chummy with Wendy because, you know, he smells money. So, Wendy, you better look out, because Benny Hinn is not your friend, trust me. So, anyway, Benny Hinn says that he was going through a divorce a couple years ago. Remember when Benny Hinn got divorced and then he ran off with Paula White? But anyway, before he was divorced, him and Paula were found together in Rome holding hands by the National Enquirer. And I know people say, well, the National Enquirer, well, you know, they do report some accurate stories. And the fact that Benny and Paula did not sue the National Enquirer for the picture that they posted of Benny and Paula walking hand in hand in Rome, visiting the Vatican of all places. Now, why were they doing that? Do you think they have some connection to the Vatican? So, anyway, if the picture was not a real picture, and Benny or Paula had sued the Inquirer, the Inquirer would have had to retract what they said. And as far as I know, and I don't care what Paula White says, she said she sued the Inquirer, but if she had sued the Inquirer, they would have posted a retraction of the story. So they, as far as I know, they have never retracted the story or taken down the pictures. So they didn't sue and win, no. Anyway, Benny says that him and his wife are going through a divorce, his wife Suzanne, who now is a Paula White lookalike. She looks exactly like Paula. She dyed her hair blonde, and you know, she looks like Paula now. So, yeah, you know, that's sick. Like, that's a little sick. Anyway, Benny says that his divorce attorney, now get this, like, who spends this kind of money on a divorce? Just on the attorney. This is not even the settlement. So you can imagine how much money they had. The divorce attorney charged him $877,000. So here's Benny Hinn, the so-called great man of God, that's going to tell you how to believe God and, yeah, sow your seeds, and you can have a good marriage, and you can have a boyfriend, and you can have all the money in the world if you just give me some money. Now, here's Benny Hinn, and he can't sit down with his wife and their divorce attorneys and work out an agreement. They have to spend $877,000 on the attorneys? Wow, you know. it came out of his own mouth, so I'm not making this stuff up. And it's hard to believe, though, right? I mean, isn't that hard to believe that that really happened and people actually still go to Benny Hinn's meetings? Like, who would go there? You have to be nutty to even go near that guy. So, Benny says, well, they lost their house. They had this big mansion and some $10 million mansion in California overlooking the ocean. I think he said they lost that house. And, oh, he was losing all kinds of things. And so, you know, all of a sudden, Benny and Suzanne are getting back together. And Benny says that Suzanne's going to be with him all over. They're going to travel together. They're going to be together. Well, you really don't ever really see her. If you notice that I don't really see her with him, so where is she? But anyway, they did get remarried, and Benny was desperate. I mean, he was desperate for money. He had bills piling up, and Seed Faith wasn't working for him. No, really, it wasn't working because he was losing his houses and his ministry was going bankrupt. But Benny is such a good manipulator. He's so good at what he does as far as manipulating people that he actually found some fool, a man and a wife who I guess have some money. They must have some big money because Benny Hinn was friends with them, and he won't be your friend unless you have a lot of money. So anyway, he actually convinced these people to give him $877,000, okay? He actually, these people actually gave him that money. Oh, Benny, we're going to help you. We're going to pay your attorney's fees. Now, where do you find stupid people like that? You mean to tell me that these people probably have a family. They probably have children. There's probably a homeless shelter near where they live. There's probably people sleeping on the street over there in their hometown. There's probably a church that needed some money. I'm sure there was a lot of people that could have really used that money. No, these dummies, they give it to Benny Hinn to pay his divorce attorney. Oh, please. how does this happen? Now, how does this happen? And how does anybody with any kind of a moral compass even accept such a gift after you're the one that made all those bills? So, and then I'm going to expect someone else to come up and come and clean up my mess after I made it because I'm a minister? A minister of what? Ridiculous, honest. So, oh, Benny's bragging. This was just this week when he was on the God TV telethon, bragging about, oh, I'm telling you people, this stuff really works. It really works. Oh, then I needed $250,000, and God told me to call somebody, of course. He's calling somebody that he knows that has $250,000. So, and the lady, psychically, you know, this lady said that God told her that she's supposed to give Benny Hinn $250,000. Now, wait a minute. God told her that? Nah, because Benny Hinn doesn't know God. Benny Hinn's not saved. So, no, the devil told her that, not God. God didn't tell her that. No. So she says that God told her that if Benny Hinn would call her, then that would be her confirmation. She threw out a fleece. So, of course, those devils in Benny, they knew it. So he calls this lady, and she says, you know what? I just prayed for God that if I was supposed to give you $250,000, that God would call me. Oh yeah, Benny, he calls people. There's a lot of people he calls, but he only calls people that are millionaires. Probably he doesn't call me. He's not going to call you. But and so anyway, he was just bragging. Well. Now, I don't know if some of you people in the chat room, or I know myself that I fell for a couple of those seed faith things back in the day, you know, back in the 1990s, 1980s. And, okay, you know, one time I did get blessed after I sowed the seed for a season. And then I went through the worst financial crisis of my whole life. I mean, God smacked me down. Yeah, I went through the worst. And God had to teach me some lessons, but I decided I was going to get serious about reading my Bible, as far as I wasn't going to believe anymore about seed faith. I wasn't going to believe anymore about tithing. I was going to find out for myself. So I spent 3 months. Now, that's not a long time. Some people spend years studying certain topics. But I spent 3 full months, and I studied every scripture on giving, tithing, all that. And I found out what the truth was. I found that I didn't have to give God any money. If I wanted to be generous, I wanted to do it from my heart, not because I wanted something, but because I truly wanted to be a blessing to people. So that's the way we're supposed to be, and not the way these con artists are. But we'll see what happens to Benny Hinn, because, you know, there's a couple scriptures that contradict Benny Hinn. There's actually some scriptures that say that, okay, you know, if you get your money the wrong way by deceiving people and lying to people, that eventually it's going to catch up to you. It might be a lot of fun right now that, you know, like the Daystar Network, he says, we need $100 million a year to run this network, and we don't have any debts. And you know why we don't have any debts? Because we're givers. Well, things might be rosy now, but eventually God is going to judge it. And when God judges it, remember what happened to Jimmy Swagger in the 80s? Remember what happened to Jim Baker? He went to prison when God judged him for 5 years. Jimmy Swaggart was publicly humiliated before the whole world. I don't want God to do that to me. I'm sure you don't want God to do that to you, to put your sins in the newspaper and on CNN. No. God is merciful. He has mercy, but he's not going to let you continue to use witchcraft and enchantments. And the scripture here that I'm reading is 2 Chronicles 33. And let's see, I'm going to start at verse 6. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times, which they love to do. Oh, they love to observe times, the Passover offering, the Jubilee offering, the first fruits offering. Yeah, they love to observe times, and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Now, yes, we know that God is a God of love, but we also know that God is a God of judgment. And there's only so much he's going to put up with, and then he's going to judge you. And when he judges you, it is not a pretty thing. So let's look at Proverbs 1, and I'm going to start reading at verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more, then, the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Amen. And we see that. The fools on so-called Christian television. Actually, that's Proverbs 15. But they feed on foolishness. And they feed on people that are desperate. They have, like I said, they're like vultures. They find hurting and dead people that are on the verge of death, and then they prey on them, and that's how they are. So I'm going to play a few clips here and let you hear some of the things that this is just this past week. The Daystar Network was having their telethon, and the On God TV also having their telethon, trying to raise money to keep their dirty deeds on the air. And this is not a true representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first clip I'm going to play, and you're going to find it hard to believe, trust me, because I really couldn't believe what I was hearing coming out of Perry Stone's mouth. Now, we know, some of us know Perry Stone. He supposedly teaches on the end times, and he's very popular. And anyway, Perry has gone the way of Balaam and sold out. So he actually... Now, you see him a lot doing these conathons and these telethons. And one shocking video that was posted about Perry And I'm going to let you hear this. This clip is about 3 minutes, but now you're going to find this. You're not going to believe this, I'm telling you, because I sat there with my mouth open because I'm like, this is a new low in a bid to raise funds. So here's Perry Stone.
Don't miss this. Your financial giving is considered an offering similar to the blood sacrifice placed on the altar in the Old Testament. Can I prove it to you? Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Now, wait a minute. You that are watching me at home, I've got two powerful things coming up in just a minute, so stay right there. You've got to hear this. Watch carefully. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. But listen to this verse, Philippians 4:18. Now, how many of you know that Paul in Philippians is talking about receiving a gift, which was the offering? But watch what he says. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. This is interesting. In the New Testament, when it talks about the sacrifice that Christ made for us through his death, it is a sweet sacrifice. However, Paul then says, that when you gave me an offering to help evangelize the world, it was to God a sweet sacrifice. Now, we're talking about a church simply gave the man money. And he turns around and says, let me tell you how God sees the money. He sees it equal to the actual sacrifice that his son made on the cross. Oh, now, Brother Stone, I don't believe that. Let me explain to you why. Because without the gift being sent to Paul to evangelize Asia, people would have died lost. And he turns around and says, let me tell you how God sees the money. He sees it equal to the actual sacrifice that his son made on the cross. Oh, now, Brother Stone, I don't believe that.
Now, did you pick yourself up off the floor? If I was Perry Stone, I would really be afraid. Because that is blasphemy in the highest order. To say that money, the giving of money, compares to the death of Jesus Christ and his shed blood? He's lost his mind. Totally, totally lost his mind. So, if you have any friends that listen to Perry Stone, like Perry Stone, don't let Perry Stone in your house. Don't listen to him. Give them a copy of this clip. You can find it on the internet, that Perry Stone. It's a video of him talking, so they can't deny it. And he compares money to the blood of Jesus. So they can hear it for themselves. Let's try to put Perry Stone out of business and help people not to buy his books and his tapes, and maybe he'll go away because he needs to either repent or please go away and stop blaspheming God just so you could raise money. I think he might have been at David Cirillo's place. Like, David Cirillo needs some money. He really needs it, doesn't he? Anyway. Now, here's another guy here that he was recently this week at the Daystar Psychic Network, Marcus and Joni Lamb's Psychic Network. And Jesse Duplantis, now, he's been around for quite a while, and he, you know, Jesse was a protege of Kenneth Copeland. So he learned from one of the great deceivers of all times. And so I don't know how Jesse got rich. I really don't know. I know part of the way he got rich was through collecting tithes. So now if I was collecting 10% from 100 people every week, I would be doing pretty good myself. So you can't judge anybody's success by the fact that they were collecting tithe money that really doesn't belong to them, because tithing was never money. And so you can't really say that when they tell you that they got rich and maybe that's the only way they got rich is by collecting tithes. Well, they didn't get it honestly. They got it by lying to people. So that's not Christian. So, but I don't know the full extent of how Jesse Duplantis got his money. But I'm going to play this clip for you. Now, Jesse claims that he is one of the wealthiest men in Louisiana. Now, that's a pretty big statement to make. He also claims that he owns the largest house in the whole state of Louisiana. That's also a very large claim to make. The whole state of Louisiana? Wow. He's so rich that his daughter is set for life. He's set. She never has to work another day. Jesse himself, he never has to work another day. Now, he doesn't have to work. He just does all this for fun, because he's a giver. But you're going to notice, I'm going to play this clip. It's about 15 minutes long, so you'll hear Jesse in full braggadocious manner. He's so puffed up with pride. He brags and brags and brags about himself and all his money. And I know that. Doesn't the Bible say that we're supposed to give our alms in secret? I think there's a scripture like that. So I don't know. And Jesse claims to be. Oh, Jesse is a man of the word. He's a man of the word. So I wasn't able to get this one particular statement on recorded, but before Jesse goes on this rant, he actually says that, and Marcus Lamb says this to him, you know, Jesse, I believe in the transference of anointings, and Jesse Duplantis has a financial anointing. He's got an anointing that if you get around Jesse and you touch the hem of his garment and you give Jesse an offering, that because Jesse has this anointing, then this anointing comes on you. Yeah, you can actually get this anointing from Jesse Duplantis. And then Jesse actually said that when he dies and they put his body in the ground, that people are actually going to come and lay on his grave. And he said this. And that they're going to lay on top of his grave because they're still going to want to get his financial anointing. Wow. Now, that's hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, for us, but there's probably people that actually believed it, because I think there might be something on here in this clip I'm going to play where he was building this. You know, he's got the biggest house in Louisiana, so he was building his house. And you know, Jesse needs money. He needed drywall. He couldn't buy drywall. He needed somebody to donate it. So some crazy sucker comes up and he's got a drywall company. So he says to Jesse, now this is Christian, right? He says, Jesse, I need some business. I got to have some money. My business is hurting. So I'm going to donate all the drywall for your 8,000 square foot house. Jesse needs it. He's desperate for that drywall. So he said, okay. So the guy gives him the drywall, and then, oh, his business takes off. Oh, he just, because he gave Jesse something, so that anointing was transferred to him. Wow. Now, I want to tell you something. If I was one of the richest people in Florida, say I was one of the richest people, now, I certainly would not be receiving offerings. No. I mean, I wouldn't have to receive offerings because, look, I'm rich enough. You know, if I was Jesse Duplantis, I could say, look, I'm rich enough. Don't give me any more offerings. I don't need any more offerings. Let's give these offerings to somebody that really needs offerings, because I don't really need it. I can pay for my own drywall. Not Jesse. No, he's got the biggest house in Louisiana. I think he said he had 17 cars or something like that. And he's one of the wealthiest people in Louisiana. But Jesse does not turn down an offering. No. He wouldn't go and buy and say, let's find every person in Louisiana that's homeless. Instead of giving me the drywall, let's build somebody a house. I don't need anything anymore. So let's bless somebody else. Nope, not Jesse. No. Mm-mm. No, you got to keep giving to Jesse, because that anointing then comes on you. Look, I don't know about you, but what does that sound like to you? Does that sound like greed to you? Does that sound like somebody that's greedy and he's never going to have enough? He just wants more. Does that sound Christian? Is that guy a Christian? I don't think so. But anyway, I'm going to play this clip of Jesse. And this is Jesse Duplantis. And it's about 15 minutes, but you'll hear him in full force. And this is Jesse bragging.
I'm going to begin to see the supernatural in the way of increase and the way of financial strength coming in.
Right.
Brother Jesse, I just had to obey
God about that. God bless you, sir.
And I'm going to tell you why a lot of people don't have that kind of anointing, because they're afraid of money. You should never be afraid of something that you need in life. You don't fall in love with it, but you use it. Just like this pulpit holds this Bible. You know, money will sustain you in your life because you live in an economic world. I'm telling you, it's on me. God's telling me to say something I don't want to say, but I'm going to have to obey the Lord. I am one of the wealthiest men in the state of Louisiana. And I don't mean that pridefully, please. And I'm not trying to be arrogant or cocky, because what we do, me and Kathy, is that we just bless. We just believe in blessing, you understand? We just believe in getting, the biggest investments I do is my giving to God's work in every area. I'm telling you. I mean, senators recognize it in the state of Louisiana. In Washington, D.C., I went to the prayer breakfast. They said, that's that guy. And I don't mean that pridefully. I don't care about that. I'm not interested in the stuff. What I'm interested in is getting somebody saved, getting somebody healed, and making somebody happy. And I'll tell you, your seed will do that. And I appreciate Brother Marcus doing that, because it's so true. It is so true. I know some people have messed up on these things. I know some people have done wrong things, but you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, some people get healed, some don't, but that don't stop you from praying for healing. But if you believe, Jesus said he'll heal all. Right now, God will do this the miraculous. I'm telling you, when I lay my hands on it, I'm telling you, I have a physical, tangible anointing when it comes to finances. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's physical. It's tangible. It works. My God. I'm telling you, when I walk into a bank, they want to take me to lunch. I ain't looking for a coffee pot. I'm telling you, to open up a checking account. I don't mean that pridefully. They want to take me to lunch. Why do they want to take me to lunch? Because they see it themselves. If a sinner can see that anointing, you as a Christian ought to be able to see that. You hear what I'm saying? That's what it's all about. My God, we got one line open. And if he's busy, just keep calling. Get on the Daystar app. You can give Daystar.com and watch God just do a miracle. I really believe people are going to get debt-free. This is the year of debt-free. It's the year. Bless God. I mean, my Lord, it's about time you don't have to go mortgage something. Well, if you need a car, that's not being greedy. It's a vehicle. If you live in Texas, you got to have a car. You can't walk that fast because Texas is big. You understand what I'm saying? You need a car, go get the thing. Instead of walking in there, make you sit down there 5-6 hours trying to get finances, say, I'll take that one. Grab the thing and get out of there. You see what I'm saying? That's what God wants done. People are going to criticize you. They criticize Jesus. If you don't think offerings and seed is important, there's over 1,000 references concerning offerings in the Bible. Over 1,000. Go study it. I'm not just telling you that. You don't think God thinks about that? Oh, glory to God. We had zero right now. All lines are full. But I tell you what, my God, you just keep calling. You don't want to miss this blessing. You don't want to miss this in any way, shape, or form. Because the Word of God is so true. I hope I'm not taking too much time here. I don't know. Am I all right? All right. I'm telling you, God want to do so many things. I believe he'll pay your house off. I'd like you to call and tell somebody at Daystar when God does the unbelievable and the impossible. It's time for the book of Acts stuff to start happening at your house. You understand? Spiritually, physically, financially. My daughter told me that the other day. She said, Daddy, everything you touch prospers. I said, you know why? Because I create my world and then I walk in it. You know what God told me years ago? He said, if you don't like what you see, change it, Jesse. I said, how do I do that? Romans 4:17, I called those things which be not as though they were. When I got out of debt, I walked outside my house in front of all my neighbors. You can call me crazy. They don't call me crazy no more. And I put my hand on the side of that house, and I said, in the name of Jesus. I made it a little black. In the name. I said, the name of Jesus. I want you to know they thought I lost my mind. But I was the only one on that street that had a paid off house. And that was the first one. Then the second was paid off. The third one was paid off. And now I got one. I live in the biggest house in the state of Louisiana. I don't mean that pridefully. And guess what? It is debt free. I did it by giving. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. And God will honor you, not some of the time, but all the time. Do you see what I'm saying? You put money into this Daystar ministry. My God, God's going to multiply it. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do. I get so excited. I wish I could say it in tongues. The Baptists would freak out, but and I love the Baptists. Because it's so spiritual. It's so powerful. And God likes nice things. Oh, yeah. Jesus had a seamless robe. You don't gamble for rags. You ain't gambling for some rag. You're gambling to get something better than what you got. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, even though he can come like right now, come like Star Trek, beam me up, Scotty, or beam me down, but he likes horses. He said, I think I'm going to ride me a white horse when I come. Glory to God. You know how expensive white horses are? Think about that. Oh, what a blessing of the Lord. Can I pray again? But we only got two lines open. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you are doing this. Lord, I thank you that these $1,200 gifts are coming at $100 a month or a one-time gift. God, oh, God, give a soul for everyone. That's 1,200 souls. Lord, you said one soul is worth more than the whole world. One! And somebody could win 1,200 through Daystar. What a blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ that is. I thank you for it. I believe you for it. I call it done by the power of Jesus' name. And I mean what I say. Now give Jesus a hand clap. And if you're in your house, clap your hands. And let God do the work. And let him just minister greatly to you. And let him just flow and bless you in every area. In every area. I tell my people that in my ministry all the time. I said, when people write us, that's not a card. That's not an envelope. That's a person. Never forget that. That's a person. Someone that needs prayer. Someone that needs help. Someone. Oh, Lord Jesus. You can also go to Daystar.com or you can go to Daystar app. Both of those, and just be blessed by God. I love technology. I mean, it's just a blessing of the Lord. God is so good and gracious. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Schumacher, I tell you, when Hurricane Katrina hit us, I remember that Marcus and Jonah Lamb was looking for me, trying to get me to come away. Where's Jesse? People thought I was dead. I was close, but I wasn't close. I mean, my God, man, I told him when I came in, I said, I don't have a suit. I said, man, I've had the same clothes on for 5 days. Well, I didn't know. There's nothing. I mean, 60,000 businesses was lost in 5 hours. Do you understand? You don't understand that you can't buy any gas, no electricity. You can't go to the bank because the bank's destroyed. You can't use a credit card because the credit grid is gone. Nothing. But what sustained me was the Lord Jesus Christ. My whole ministry. No, I never missed any of my television time. I paid everything, Lord Jesus. And we gave away $3 million helping people. You understand? I learned that some people gave, the people never got it, Marcus. But buddy, when they came, and I don't want you to send me nothing. You send this to Daystar. I'm telling you, I said, they send it to, and some of the biggest ministers, if I name them, you'd know them. They sent money, and 100% of it went to those people. I never forget a little black girl, 7 years old, grabbed me by the leg, been on top of a bridge for 5 days in 98 degrees and 100% humidity. Let me tell you something, that's rough. And the parents done lost it, don't know what to do. When I come walking up there, glory to God, I had water, bread, and I had little packs of money. Oh, glory to God. I said, let me help you. That little girl grabbed my leg, and she said, I told you, Mama, that Jesus and Brother Jesse would help us. Boy, I mean, it just tear your heart out, you know. But you know what happened? It's because people gave to that. This is what Daystar does. When you give to them, they are touching people. And I'm going to touch that miracle envelope of yours. And I'm going to ask God to do it. If he's done it for me, I know he'll do it for you. I've had people say, why are you working? Well, it sure ain't for money. I'm working because it's a calling of God on my life. I don't mean it's private. I don't need to work. No, I don't need to do that. Any of nothing. Never again in my life. And I don't mean it pridefully. That's just simply the truth. But I'll tell you what, I work right now just so I can give. I just do things so I give. Lord, Jesus, it's just such a blessing to God. The person said, hey, Princess, if you want to go to Paris, what you do? I said, go to Paris. I don't mean that pridefully. Why? That's the Lord doing that. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, some people say, oh, that ain't right. Well, God seems to be pleased with it because he's the one financing it. You know, I'm a giving addict, and the Lord supports my habit. Did you get that? He supports everything that I do. And I tell you, I am interested in one thing only, and that if somebody gets saved, it don't have to be in my ministry. It can be in anyone else's. I just get so excited when somebody does something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we've got only 4 lines left. Come on, let God be the glorious person that, I tell you what, the anointing's here. The anointing's here to be a blessing to you. Oh, glory. I mean, it is tangible in here. It's sick. Do you understand? Y'all feel that? Do you people hear this? You understand what I stand up? Let me. I'm gonna pray for you guys. While he said, I'm gonna just pray as a point of contact. Jesus, I ask you to bless this man. Bless them because they're givers, Lord. Minister to them, Lord. I just felt let the Lord lay hands on somebody as I lay hands on these people. Lord, I ask you to lay hands on these people that are coming through the camera. Lord, I decree and declare it today that they're blessed beyond their wildest dreams. Lord, I thank you that the word of God is true. That the power of Jesus. That's God, just so glorious. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that the word of the Lord, I'm just coming around here, y'all, excuse me. Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you that you're blessing him in the city. Bless her in the field. Bless him going in and bless him going out. Bless everybody that's in this studio. Bless everyone that's watching by television. Bless all the givers, each and every one of them, as they give to you today. Lord, I stretch forth my hand. Where's my camera? Can I go on this one right here? I stretch forth my hand in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I ask you to take the tangible anointing of God to go inside that camera right now. And Lord, I ask you to bless them. Lord, there's some people, they need their houses paid off. Lord, they're behind on their mortgage notes, but they're giving a seed. Lord, they're going to do $100. They're going to do $1,200. Lord, let it happen. Lord, tonight, tomorrow, let the testimony from God. telephone is over, let people begin to say, I've already got it. In Jesus' name, somebody shout, somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, Lord, you can be seated. Hallelujah. Can I go a little longer? Is that all right? Praise the Lord. I don't want to take somebody's time. I've learned something. When you understand what you do, you know what you're doing when you're giving right now? It's a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. See, the seed is the word of God. Learn to receive so that the harvest can abound to your account and to Daystar's account. Think about that. I know sometimes people criticize Christian television, criticize preachers and things. So, they criticize Jesus. I had a man tell me one time, he said, but Jesse, my God, you're liable to go to jail one day. I said, well, Jesus went to jail. Peter went to jail. If I got to go to jail, I go to jail. You know what my tax attorney told me one time? He said, Jesse, you didn't give too much. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we can't take it off the taxes anymore. I mean, you know, you passed that limit. I said, you know, that's why you've always had a job. Because I passed the limit, glory to God. I passed the limit. You'll always have a job. Hey, it has nothing to do whether it's a deduction or not. It has to do with being a blessing. A blessing of the Lord. My Lord, when you understand that, that's Ecclesiastes. So you can, the seeds of the past, the present, and the future. Oh, show my master. I'll tell you something that's happening right now. I'm no longer giving for myself.
No.
God has blessed me. I'm now giving for my granddaughter. I'm no longer giving for my daughter. I've already taken care of her. She can live the rest of her life. I'm now giving for my granddaughter. And my granddaughter is so blessed. I got a friend of mine the other day. She was running around my house, a pastor friend. He said, man, she has no idea what you have done for her. I said, you know, Mike, we have no idea what God has done for us. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just got 13 lines open. 13 people, 12 people about ready to receive a miracle of the Lord. Get your seed ready. That's $100 a month or $1,200 one-time gift. Whatever. So that's a lot of money. Yeah, but multiply it times 100. Now you can get 34, but since you got a choice, take the 100-fold. Then be a blessing to your church. Then be a blessing to Daystar. Be a blessing to somebody. Whatever. I don't know. And let God do the miracle for you that he wants done. And it'll bless you. And you know, when people know that you're a giver, there's several restaurants in the city of New Orleans. When I walk in, I don't care. They're full. They look at me and go, oh, let him come to my station. Let him come. It's great, man. I thought, glory to that guy. I had a man say, who is that guy? And that lady said, that man gives greatly to these people. You know what those waiters and waitresses told me? You know we work hard. I said, yeah. I worked for 90 cents an hour when I was a kid. 90 cents. Flipping hamburgers, doing everything you can. I told that to a kid in our church one time. He didn't want to go to work at McDonald's. He thought it was below his dignity. He was 16. His mama tried to get him to go. I said, son, you know what I call that if I was your age? He said, what? I said, an opportunity. An opportunity. I said, my God, you're only looking at the hamburger. I said, why don't you look at the franchise? Come on. Look at the franchise. Quit looking at just a hamburger on the grill. Look at the franchise. What, they've sold 30 billion hamburgers? My God, you're just looking at the burger, man. Look what somebody had in the idea. I believe there's some corporations. There's some people watching right now. I heard it in the Holy Ghost. Some of you are presidents and CEOs of corporations that need to get involved with Daystar. I'm talking. He said, say it in English. It's hard, Jesus. I'm telling you. Listen to me. You want your business blessed? Who cares about what Wall Street does, up or down, around, or whatever? You put God in your business, obey sure my mother. You know, right now we got almost an $18 trillion debt against any bill. You pull a dollar out of your wallet right now and you look at it, it says.
You know, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, you can't even make it up. Who is this guy? Why in the world would anyone ever go and hear this man or give him any money or give this network any money for having a guy on like this? Why? Why does a network that claims to have $100 million a year, why did they ever even have to take up an offering? Can't they say, wait a minute, we've got enough money. We don't need any more money. But no, $100 million a year is not enough for the Daystar Psychic Network. No, they've got to have more money. So here's a clip. Amen. Amen, Linda. Yes, Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And that's very, very true, because eventually all this will catch up with them, and it won't be pretty. But here's Marcus Lamb. This is about a two-minute clip.
$100 million a year budget, one pledge probably isn't going to make the difference. But your pledge, if you're obeying God with it, will make the difference for you, for your family, for that situation that you're in. You need to obey the Lord right now. Go to the phone. Call the number right now. Whatever amount it is that God is speaking to you, you do it. But there's several of you that's $2,000, maybe spread out over 12 months, and there's a whole bunch of you, it's $77 a month for 12 months. Brian?
Well, I've seen God do it, and you need to hear God. I mean, don't wait. Don't wonder. Don't sit back and say whether you're going to do this or not. One word from God can change your life. My life has changed because a man of God spoke to me and said that God will make your name bigger than big, larger than large. You travel all over the country preaching the gospel. That one word changed my life. Now, that word has trials. It has tests. There's a process. A lot of times you hear the promise, and then you become discouraged because you don't get it immediately. But I need you to understand, it's like Uncle Sam. He show you joining the army, he show you coming out, but he don't show you boot camp.
Yeah.
Because sometimes if he showed you the process, you would forfeit the promise. You have a 12-month process of obeying God, and watch what God does for you in the next 12 months.
12 months. I said this one time, and it just came out of my mouth. I remember I was preaching in London, England, and it came out of my mouth. I'd never heard anybody say this. And I said, there is no progress without the process. And then I felt led to repeat it again. There is no progress without the process. Some of you are going on a 12-month journey, and you are going to be amazed at the handiwork of God in your life over the next 12 months. I can tell you it is the most wonderful thing when you know you're walking in God's will, you're hearing the voice of God, and you're being led by His Holy Spirit. That's what that ordering your steps is all about. Psalms 37:23,
Now, notice Marcus Lamb said that they take in $100 million a year, so they don't really need your money. They're doing it for you. They're doing it for you so you can get something back. Now, that's Christian, isn't it? Just give somebody money so you can get something. And actually, the words, those words actually came out of Wendy Alex's mouth the other night from God TV at this telethon. She actually said it. She said, we know we're supposed to give to get. Well, out of the abundance of the mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, it came right out of her mouth, so. Christians don't give to get. We give to bless. So it's up to God what He wants to give us. Let's face it. Most of us are, you know, middle-aged or older, and we've already passed most of our the time in our life when we're going to earn money or make money. Maybe God will bless us somewhere down the road. But not everybody's going to be rich. That's just not going to happen. Anyway, God knows what you can handle. So there's certain times in your life where He knows that you can handle things, and so He'll give you He might give you a little bit more when he knows that you're mature enough to handle money, because we know most people, when they're young, they don't know how to handle money. So there's a learning process and there's a growing process, but these greedy preachers, they want you to think that you don't have to work and you can lie, cheat, and steal and do whatever you want and just give me some money and God is required to bless you. Well, it doesn't work like that. Anybody that's ever accomplished anything in this life did it by hard work. So even if you know a wealthy person that inherited money, somebody had to work for it. They didn't just go outside and pick it off the money tree. So hard work and saving, don't get into debt and those kind of things, and you can live a blessed life. But there's just no way that you can give enough money to get yourself out of a mess. It's just not going to work that way. If you got yourself into a mess, you're probably going to have to get yourself out of it. And you may get a little help, but for the most part, don't you feel good? I know I do. I know I feel good when I can do something for myself. And if I know I messed up, if I can get myself out of the mess, by working or doing whatever I have to do, I do that. I don't go begging and telling everybody my problems so they'll feel sorry for me and try to manipulate people to help me. That's not the way to do things. Just seek first the kingdom of God, and God knows what you need, and He's our Father. He loves us, so... The Bible says you won't see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. And that's very true. I'm going to play this clip now. This guy is called Nasser Siddiqui. Now, this is from the UnGod TV network, Wendy and Rory Alec. Of course, Rory's not there anymore, but they founded this satellite network, and it's based out of Europe. Mainly England, but now this Nasser Siddiqui, he's kind of a small fish in the pond, but he's a good manipulator. He's a good hypnotist. He uses the finger snapping and the clapping and the close your eyes, and he's a real good hypnotist. But he says that his spiritual father was Kenneth Copeland, and so he learned from one of the best. Anyway, he goes up to Copeland. Now, you know, Kenneth Copeland's a billionaire, so Kenneth doesn't need to take up any more offerings either. And anyway, he goes up to Copeland, and he's going to bribe Copeland. So he goes up to Copeland. He hands him $20,000. He doesn't put it in the offering anonymously. No, he goes up to Copeland, and he hands him $20,000. So, of course, Copeland says, meet me in the back, because anybody that hands Copeland a $20,000 check or a $50,000 check, or you're going to shake his hand personally. You're going to meet the guy. Okay, he's interested in you. Now, you know, some poor slob that comes up there, you know, and they're not dressed so nice and their hair is not combed fine or whatever, and they hand him $5, he's not going to meet with you. He's not going to meet with you later, okay? But, okay, so then all of a sudden, even before Nasser Siddiqui leaves the building that day, he's at a Kenneth Copeland convention, all of a sudden everybody is inviting him. He's getting all these invitations, and, you know, it was all because he gave Copeland this $20,000. That's why it happened. So here is Nasser Siddiqui.
Church. Now, I planted that seed at lunchtime. This man has a church of 5,000 people inviting me to come, and I have spoken for him. Somebody shall favor. It started like that. I walked a little bit closer to the door. This lady put her arm around me and said, my husband and I have been following your ministry, and we've got a church, 15,000-member church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, called Victory. We would like to get information about you speaking at our church. Somebody shall favor. Walked in the room. Another minister friend of mine, that, well, I didn't know him that well then, but he was a big minister, had a big ministry. I shouldn't mention the name, or I can't mention it. Rodney Halliburton, you've heard of Rodney Halliburton. Put his arm around me and said, when are you going to come to Tampa and help me with my ministry? Come on now. Favor is exploding right now. Another friend of mine, who's a friend now, wasn't back then, put his arm around me. His name was Dr. Jerry Seville. You might have heard of him. Dr. Seville said, when are you going to come to my house and have dinner with my wife and I, Carolyn, and then speak at my church? I've spoken for him many times. I tell you what, favor exploded. Then, it's getting more and more favor. Guess what? I get a call from our good friend, Benny Hinn. Benny's ministry's been trying to call us for 3 months, finally calls and says, we want you to come to Los Angeles, California, and do a TV program. Now, all of this happened because I planted that seed. All of this happened. Now, I know you've watched Benny Hinn on God TV, and you'll see him on the Missions Week. He's a good friend of mine. I've had dinner at his home and ministered for him many, many times. In fact, I remember that time I was there. I was doing this TV program for him, and you know, he gets excited. Pastor Benny gets excited. So I'm teaching the Word of God, and he says, brother, never have I heard such revelation. You know how he talks. He got so excited, he invited me back. I did 18 TV programs with Pastor Benny, did his crusade in San Francisco, he invited me to do it again in Orlando, in Nashville. He invited me to travel with him and do the morning's teaching sessions. Somebody shall favor, all because I obeyed God. Rod Parsley calls me and says, I want you to come and speak at my church. He gets so excited, wants me to do a TV program. Well, I speak at his Dominion camp meeting, 10,000 people, 3 years in a row, and do 22 TV programs with him. And he wants me to come back. Somebody shall favor. Are you getting a hold of this? Paula White calls me and says, I want you to do some TV programs. Gets excited, wants me to come back. Favor. I get a call from a gentleman by the name of Dr. Frederick Casey Price. You might have heard of him. He's got a church with 10,000 seats called the Faith Dome in Los Angeles, California. Come preach for him. He got so excited, wants me to come back. Favor exploded in our ministry. Everywhere we went, favor. Morris Cirillo, you might have heard of Dr. Morris Cirillo, invites me to speak at his world conference. I got Brother Copeland sitting on this side of me. I got Dr. John Hagee sitting on this side of me, and I'm preaching in that conference. Everywhere, favor exploded. Then I get this letter, strange letter, from some guy called Pastor Matthews Shimolo. I never heard of this guy. What does he want from me? He says, would you come to London, England, and speak in my conference? And I'm thinking, okay, I prayed about it, and the Lord said, go. I didn't know he had a 10,000-member church in London. I didn't know that he had a conference with 20,000 people, the largest conference in Europe called the Gathering of Champions. I had no idea. So I went to speak, and I got Creflo Dollar on this side of me and Bill Winston on this side of me doing the conference. Supernatural divine favor. In fact, he invited me back last year to speak again for him. Incredible favor exploded in our ministry. Why? God had it waiting for me, just like God's got it waiting for you. Your breakthrough, your expansion. But I had to plant the seed of obedience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pray right now. The anointing is in this place right now. I'm telling you, God is about to do something, not just for me, for you. Supernatural divine favor to follow you all this year. Do you want it? Doors to open for you? For your business, for your ministry, for your family. Now is the time. God is no respecter of persons. Please believe me. What he's done for me, he'll do for you. He doesn't love both of us more than he loves you. He loves us all the same. The difference is we were obedient.
Oh.
Now, you're sowing into God TV. Great ground. That's why I can release my faith for the hundredfold return on your seed. Number one.
Hundredfold
great
return.
Great expansion. Number two,
Wow. Harvest
in the same year, rapid harvest. Number three, and supernatural divine favor. The anointing is here in the house for those four things. Get ready for what the Lord is about to do. I just sense the anointing all over this place with the Word of God. I just sense I need to pray for you right now. Here's what I want you to do. You're watching me right now. You want to see your family members come in. Yeah, it's about to happen. You want that pregnancy to occur. You've been struggling. That's about to happen. Yes, Lord. That marriage you've been struggling with, you want your marriage restored. That's about to happen. They missed you on that last promotion. That's about to turn around.
Oh.
Your business has been struggling, but you're about to see great expansion. Your church,
mm-hmm.
as pastors watching me right now, I can sense it. The Holy Spirit is telling me, your church has been struggling. You feel like you've hit a plateau. You've been trying to make it grow, but it just seems to stop there. Just as it grows, it decreases and grows and decreases. That's about to change. That's about to change right now. As you plant the seed of obedience, great expansion is going to be released in your life. Whatever breakthrough you're waiting on is about to manifest. Close your eyes. All of you watching me all over the world, close your eyes. Now listen to your heart. What did Jesus do? He inclined to the direction of the Father. What did Peter do? He obeyed the word of the Son. What did Isaac do? He obeyed the word of God. When you obey God's word, something is about to happen. Let's pray right now. Close your eyes. All over this place. It doesn't matter what country you're in. God can meet you right where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Close your eyes. And we're going to pray.
Yeah.
Close your eyes. I thank you, Lord.
Don't tell
I
me
thank
to close
you, Lord,
my
that
eyes.
I've given the message that you gave me to give them.
I bind
you told me that it was
spirit.
Great expansion in their lives, in their family. With their loved ones coming into the kingdom, with the healing manifestations, with their businesses growing, and their promotions in their jobs, or the expansion for the home that they've been believing you for the vehicle that they need, expansion in every area of their life. Lord, I'm asking you, sir, you know what each person needs. You know, Lord, what their need is. And
yeah.
You know, Lord, what seed is going to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
If Isaac had never planted that seed, we would never hear about him again. If Elijah had never followed that instruction, the seed of obedience, we would never hear about him.
Really?
If Jesus hadn't inquired what to do with those 5 fishes and 2 loaves, the increase would have never
been. Jesus.
Lord, speak to us now. What is that ripe seed that we need to sow?
Oh, that's enough for him. Oh, dear. Now, you notice the hypnotism, the snapping of the fingers, the low voice telling people to close their eyes. That's all what a hypnotist does to people. And I don't have time today to play the first clip that I have of Nasser Siddiqui, but he actually says that. Jesus Christ himself had to obey the Father about the instruction of obedience, which he says that you have to be obedient when you get an instruction. But we all know that most of us, when we're sitting at home and we don't have the TV on, and most of the time God is not speaking to us about a $1,000 seed to send to some television preacher. That doesn't usually happen unless you're watching one of these programs and they happen to hypnotize you. And that's how it happens. So it's not like you're getting a word from the Lord and he's telling you to send. This is the seed of obedience that I want you to plant. But this guy actually blasphemes Jesus and says that when Jesus had the loaves and the fishes, that he had to pray and he had to ask the Father what to do. And so then Jesus planted the seed of obedience, and because he was obedient to the instruction, then God multiplied the loaves and the fishes. You can't make this stuff up. These guys, they stay awake at night. They must stay awake at night and think, like, they must drink 10 cups of espresso, and they're up or I don't know what they're snorting and thinking this stuff up. It's unbelievable. It just gets worse and worse every day. So if you have friends that are involved in any of this foolishness, please, please pass these programs on to them. It doesn't necessarily have to be my program. There's many wonderful ministries out there. There's my friend Vince here, and he's got Truth Sharks Radio and Black by Color Only on Blog Talk Radio. And there's also my friend the Wolf Tracker and Daily Manna from Heaven on Blog Talk Radio, Jackie Alnor. She's got some great videos that she just posted up on YouTube. And you can check out her Facebook page. But there's many wonderful ministries out there that really can help your friends and your family come out of this deception. It is deception. It is demonic. It is of the devil. And we need to rescue people from these wolves. They're wolves. They don't care about anybody but themselves. And they don't care about anything except getting rich. And I don't care if people are rich. That doesn't bother me. As long as you get it honestly, God bless you. But we don't have to lie, cheat, and steal as Christians to get money. And it's just wrong. So let's do what we can as the body of Christ to tell people the truth, to preach the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ about who Jesus really is and how he loves people. And he gives freely to all that ask. We merely have to ask God when we have a need. Just ask him. That's all we have to do. We don't have to work to get work up some kind of faith. We need mustard seed faith. That's pretty small. So how much faith does that require to ask God for blessings? But like I said, it's a process. I've been saved since 1981. I've gone through all kinds of trials and tribulations during my Christian walk. But one thing I can say I've learned is that God only blesses me when he wants to bless me. And sometimes I have to go through terrible trials in the financial realm. But when he wants to bless me, he blesses me. When he doesn't want to bless me, he doesn't bless me. There's probably something he wants me to learn. Or he's trying to teach me how to depend on him, which I'm learning that, and I love that so much more. I love being able to go to God with my needs and letting God meet my needs and watching him work in that way. Yeah, it's just a wonderful life to live like that and to get to know God that way, to get to know him as Father. Our merciful, loving, heavenly Father that gave so much, he gave his only begotten Son, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So I just want to let you know about a few programs we have coming up in the next few weeks. Next week we're going to have Jackie Alnor on, so please tune in for that, and she's going to talk about the 95 the 95 lies of the Roman Catholic Church, okay, and Mariology. And then the week after that, I'm going to have Russell Kelly on. Now, Russell Kelly has a PhD on tithing, okay? He's got a PhD on tithing. So anybody that's got a PhD, I think they on a subject, I think they know what they're talking about. So he's going to talk about the fact that tithing was never money. And also, we're going to do an expose on Tony Evans. Now, Tony Evans is a pastor, and he teaches on tithing and this whole seed faith thing. And they have contacted Tony Evans' office, and they have challenged him to a debate. But, of course, Tony Evans would not come on the phone, and he puts his secretary on the phone, and she tells them that, you know, he gets so many invitations that he can't possibly fill all his invitations. So he's not willing to debate on the subject. He's not going to sit down with Russell Kelly and debate him on the subject of tithing. No. No, he's not going to do that. So if you're not afraid of what you believe, then I think you shouldn't be afraid to debate somebody about it. So, you know, Tony Evans, don't be a coward. Come on, get some backbone, all right? You're a man. You can debate somebody. Let's see if you're wrong. All right, let's see if Russell Kelly's wrong, okay? Let's see who's wrong. And if one of you are wrong, then I'm sure you need to repent, because you can't teach false doctrine. You can't teach false doctrine. So anyway, we'll have that coming up in 2 weeks. And then we're going to have Brenda Johnson on. We're going to talk about the Hebrew Roots movement. And then the week after that, I'll have my friend on, the Wolf Tracker. And we'll be talking about his new radio program on Blog Talk Radio, The Wolf Tracker and Daily Manna from Heaven. He's also on YouTube. He's got some videos that he's posted. So we're going to talk about his new ministry. And they're also the publishers of the books on Paula White, First Fruits, She-Wolf. And we'll be doing a program in the future about the cult of Paula White now, because Paula White is kind of turned into this female Jim Jones figure. Last week at her so-called church temple, she brings on cheerleaders, and these cheerleaders have pom-poms, and she has a man announcing her, and he says, "This is our angel, our mother." Now, when anybody, like if anybody talked about me like that, I would say, "Please, no, be quiet. No, you're not going to do that to me. I am not your mother, and I am not your angel. So I don't want you talking about me like that. Just cut it out." Don't you know, though, that that was scripted? Nobody's going to say that unless she told him to say that. So that's dangerous. Paula White, you're running a cult over there. And we're putting it out there. That is getting to be a dangerous place over there at that New Destiny Unchristian Center. So anyway, they have the book for sale on Amazon, and it's called First Fruits, She-Wolf. So you might want to take a look at that. But before we close the program today, I want to let you know that if you are not born again and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that today. You can have a brand new life today. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive your sins so that you don't have to live in your sins, and you can be forgiven for whatever you've done in your life, and God will forget it and put it in the past, and you can have a brand new life today. Jesus said in the third chapter of John, and I encourage you to read it, that ye must be born again. Once you're born of your mother, and then ye must be born again of the Spirit of God. So please ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Trust me, you'll never regret it. You'll have, your whole life will turn around. Your eyes will be open. The eyes of your understanding will be open, and then you can see that there really is a God. There really is a Jesus Christ that loves you. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Repent with a godly sorrow and receive your new life today. God bless you. Thanks, everybody, for being in the chat room today. And for listening. I appreciate you all so very much. And God bless. Okay? Bye-bye. Hey, record. Here we go.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.